Who's good? Who's going to get better? Wow, that's everyone. Have a seat. We're ready to rock and roll this morning. Thank you, team. Good to be back here after a couple of weeks away. We've had 2 weeks on the west coast of Tasmania and had a wonderful time. So that was fantastic. Dale said to me, have you got a cycling story? I said, who knows? None in my notes. But what I can tell you is I have another bruised rib and I didn't do it on a bike. I got smacked by a West Coast wave. Boogie board, rookie error for surfers, jumping over the wave. Smack, bang, winded. Anyway, we're here. I think it's just bruised. Anyway, into the message. If you've got your notes this morning, who's taking notes?
Yes.
Who's going to take notes? If you haven't got a piece of paper, you've got a phone.
That's the way. That's good, Dave.
And I left my phone in my car, actually, so there you go. So I'm not taking notes. Here's the big idea. They used to talk about a big idea when you do a message or a presentation. And here's the big idea. God will do the impossible with your possible when we dedicate or submit our plans to Him.
Amen.
So come on, let's write that down. And I want to work on this. God gave me some stuff over the last little while. And there are some key words I want to work on. But here's the big idea for this morning. God will, not He might, but God will do the impossible with your possible when you dedicate or submit your plans to Him.
Come on.
So think about this. What is possible for you in 2024? Have you had a little bit of a think about that? What is possible for you in 2024? What's impossible? And I love what Grant was saying this morning. What's impossible for us in 2024? What's possible for us, for all of us together in 2024? What's possible for your family? What's possible for your family in 2024? What's possible for your finances in 2024? What's possible for your health in 2024? Maybe somebody's been on a battle and it's, oh, I would like to serve if, or I could when, or all those things. And maybe you've been struggling with a particular health issue. Maybe it's been, one of those things that goes on, something like diabetes or one of those things. What is actually possible for your health in 2024? What is possible? My old boys brigade leader, and I had the privilege of speaking at his funeral a few years back, but he used to say this, and you've probably heard the saying. And he lived by some fairly simple sayings that were powerful. And he would say, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. And you've probably heard that, haven't you? If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. And perhaps you might have had some lofty goals once and someone said to you, come on, make your goals a little bit more realistic. Have you heard that one? And there's some truth in that, but I think sometimes what we do, though, is in that we want to bring down, we want to almost dumb down our expectations to a point where we're aiming at nothing and we know we're going to hit it. You see, if you don't have expectation, well, your disappointment level will be a lot lower, won't it? But sometimes when we have expectations, we do. We set ourselves up for disappointment. And We've got a birthday coming up in our family. Cody, whoa, tomorrow he hits a whole decade. Isn't that amazing? Wow, give him a hand. A decade on the earth. That's awesome. But I love the thing about being a decade old is mostly you approach your birthday with a good sense of expectation. And he's got expectation. He's ready for his birthday. He's got a party this afternoon and he's ready to rock and roll. So he's got expectation. And you know, when some of you, you know, you multiply Cody's time on earth by 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, where we continue to celebrate Mum and Dad's 8th decade on this planet. And we've had a number of celebrations for that. But sometimes our level of expectation sort of comes down a little bit each decade. There's a good reason why Jesus said, you know, if you want to come to the kingdom, you've got to come like a child. You got to come with your eyes wide open. You've got to come with expectation. You've got to come believing that the impossible might just be possible. So when the disciples heard Jesus say that, and Jesus tells this story, and I think sometimes I've heard all sorts of explanations on this story, and Jesus was talking actually about wealth. And he said this, he said, it's harder for a rich man to come to heaven or come into the kingdom than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And I've heard messages about that was a particular part of the wall around Jerusalem where the camels had to get down into submission to come under that wall. I don't know quite what he meant, but his answer probably meant that you think about the literal eye of a needle. And the disciples sort of said, well, what? You know, they had that, if you had that what moment with God. And the disciples said, what? Well, who then can come to heaven? And it says this, Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So come on. I think that's good news for somebody here this morning. That's good news for somebody who's battling with health. That's good news for somebody who's battling with finances. That's good news for somebody who's needing to see some miracles in their family. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Come on, let's start to write that down. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Jesus was saying, hey, it might not be possible with you, but with me, all things are possible. So how are we going to approach 2024? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Another year. Just the same as the last one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't like Christmas much. Just another day. Yeah, birthday, yeah, it was the same as the day before, wasn't it? 2024, just the same as 2023, different number. You've heard all that stuff, haven't you? You might have even said it. Oh, yeah, probably won't happen. It's going to be the same old. Just my luck. Do we have an impossible mindset? Oh, yeah. Not going to happen. Get real, man. Or do we have a with God, all things are possible mindset? Do you have a with me mindset? Or do you have a with God mindset? Do you have a with me mindset or a with God mindset? You see, a with God mindset means he can do the impossible with your possible. Yeah. A with God mindset means it has nothing to do with your luck, but everything to do with God's certainty. Come on, you've said it's just my luck. It has nothing to do with your luck, but it has everything to do with God's certainty. A with God mindset means we're not defined by the same old, but we are defined by God who is doing a new thing. Come on, in your sixth decade, in your seventh decade, in your eighth decade, in your fourth decade, in your second decade, Cody, God is doing a new thing. Amen. Isn't that amazing? With God mindset means we're not thinking about what is not, but about what could be. Come on. With God mindset means you are not limited by what might happen, but you are released into what can happen. See, with us, it's like, oh, that could or that might, but with God, you are released into what can happen and what He has got for you. Come on, we've got to get hold of this stuff in 2024. With God mindset means living exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Living exceedingly abundantly above, not under, but or not around it or not in there somewhere, but exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think.
Yeah, come on.
And I'm going to stop for a moment and I want you to start moving to an exceedingly abundantly method of thinking. I want you to start to go into exceeding abundant on what you need and what you're thinking God wants to do. And then in a moment, I'm going to unpack how we've got to think and what our mindset means to actually move to that place. And I actually want to prophesy over some people right now. And, it's great. It's just as I was starting to preach, I saw Mauricio and Andrea walk in. Welcome, guys. Great to have you here. But can I prophesy over your family? And I believe that God is moving you, not from what just might be or what has happened, but He's moving you into what He has for you and what could be and what will be. And He's needing you to actually start to think above where you are now. Above where you are now. And it's an exceeding abundant type of thinking that He actually wants to move you to. He actually wants you to use you guys to be a blessing. He's actually going to bless you to be a blessing. And there's something He's doing in shifting a way of thinking. And I just see your boundaries expanding. I see your capacity increasing. I see you bringing people into your world as you grab hold of an exceeding abundant mindset. And He is actually going to do the impossible with your possible. He is going to do the impossible with your possible. Has God spoken to anyone else just right now? Is anybody starting to shift their mindset? Not from below to above, but an exceeding abundant mindset. Come on, I'll keep doing this. I'll keep going there. See Ephesians 3:21. It says, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then you go, oh yeah, cool, but according, not according to your ability, not according to your experience, not according to your suburb, not according to your ethnicity. Gee, that's a new word, your ethnicity. But according, listen to this, according to the power that works within us. What power is working inside you this morning? Same old, same old? Oh, yeah, man. Yep, going to be the same as the last year. Or is it the power of God, that exceeding abundant above power that works within you? That's what He wants to bless you, not according to where you've been, but according to who He is, according to that power that works within you. When we approach a brand new year, we often make all sorts of plans, don't we? And when you look back, you think, oh yeah, some worked, some didn't. Oh, I was going to do that this year. I was going to lose 20 kilos in 2023, but I put on 5. And you know, I wasn't singling anybody out. I wasn't singling anybody out. I've not been in anybody's diaries. And sometimes we sort of analyse and we wonder why some things sort of come together and other things don't. Or we feel like God blesses some people and not others. Have you noticed that? Oh, yeah, they're always getting blessed. And me, gee. Oh, I just get what's left over. Here's the thing, here's the truth. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are blessed. Amen. You're not waiting to be blessed. You are blessed. You're already blessed. You will be blessed. You are being blessed. You are blessed. And I believe that the most powerful thing that we can do with our plans, and this is one of the words that I want us to focus on in the next few weeks, and I'm going to bring some of this together, but we've actually got to dedicate our plans. It's one thing to have, I've got a plan to lose 20 kilos, or I've got a plan to be more secure in my finances, or I've got a plan to have a more harmonious family, there's all sorts of things that we can have plans for, or I've got a plan to retire in 5 years, whatever it is. You know, those things they could be great plans, but are we dedicating those plans to God? Awesome. See, there might be somebody here, and you got a plan. Oh yeah, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to do the round trip in Australia in the caravan, and then I'm going to do around the world and P&O, and after that I'm going to, you know, I don't know who I'm talking to here, but you know, hey, it's Carla. But you know what, you take that plan, as silly as it might sound, and once you dedicate it, well, you've given God a chance to work with that plan. And he might say, actually, I'm not calling you to P&O, I'm actually calling you to Nepal. Or, you know, I am calling you to something much more exciting than that, because you've actually taken that plan and you've dedicated it to him. And he can work with that. See, the most powerful thing we can do is dedicate our plans to God. And God took me to these verses here, and I think they're very significant for a lot of us. In 1 Chronicles 28, and I'll start with 2 and 3 and then I'll skip down a bit, but this is towards the end of King David's life. And it says, King David rose to his feet. He said, "Listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it on my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and you've shed blood.'" And we skip down, and there's a whole lot in that, because he so had it on his heart, and God's saying, you know, I love the plans and I'm going to bless the plans, but I'm not calling you to do that. You know, you had a different lane. You had a land of going forward and conquering and dealing with stuff. I'm gonna call somebody with a different anointing to do this next part. And a lot of us can, in a sense like that, we can go, oh well, God, if you're not gonna bless my plans, here's the plans, and I'm gonna sit down. But he didn't do that, and he goes forward. He wrestled that out with God, and then if we get into verse 5, it says, "Of all my sons, the Lord has given me many. He has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of God over Israel. He said to me, 'Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if..." And often with God there is an if, because God lays it out there, and it's the if is if we choose to walk in it. If we choose to walk in it. Okay, I'm not feeling blessed, or I'm not feeling this. And maybe God's just saying, have you chosen actually to walk in it? Yeah. And he says, if he will walk in it. Yeah. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving and carries out my commandments and laws as is being done at this time. So, and then David goes on, he says, so now I charge you in sight of all Israel and the assembly of our Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to follow the commands the Lord your God, of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So, there you go. King David shares his great plans for building the temple with his son Solomon. But it was actually, if you read through that passage a little bit more, you actually find it was the dedication to the Lord of those plans that brought them to fruition. It wasn't just this great... See, David had done everything he could do. He had the plans. He had them drawn up. He'd got it through council. He'd done all the stuff. But it was the dedication of the plans that meant God was able to bless it.
Yeah, right.
And then he said, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion. You see, in God, those plans were realized through future generations. When we dedicate our plans to God, he will do more than we've already thought. He will take them further than you've already imagined, and he will do the impossible with your possible.
So good.
You see, it's interesting. At this time, Israel was an absolute monarchy. That meant that if the king wanted to build a building, everybody had to build the building. It was like, yep, I'm the king, and I've said we're going to build this. And he would just one swipe of his pen just mean it could happen. He had absolute power. So if they were going to build a temple, well, everybody was building a temple. But even in an absolute monarchy, David understood that building a temple would take courage and determination. You see, God's calling many of you to some exciting things. He's calling you to new plans. He's calling you to things where he wants to take your possible and add to his impossible and make it possible. That actually didn't quite make sense. But what he's saying, he's going to take your impossible and make it possible through his power. But it is the dedication of those plans that's going to see the difference. Have we dedicated what God's got for us or what we think we have to him? You see, with God, all things are possible. And so I want to unpack in the time we've got left this morning what it means to have a with God mindset that allows him to do the impossible. A with God mindset. Not a same old mindset. Not a yeah, it might happen mindset, but a with God mindset. See, we've got Vision Sunday coming up soon, and to be quite honest, I think it's quite a strategic, critical one for us. And God's been speaking to me about not just pulling back, but extending our horizons.
Yeah.
Looking further. Look around here. Yeah. Is it possible? With God, it's possible.
Absolutely.
With us, it's not. And the vision that we have has always got to be a with God vision. Got to be a vision that actually enables it. Can't happen unless God moves on it. That's what we need. And so with God mindset, listen to the first thing David says, and this This won't sound that exciting, but it's really important. A with God mindset, number one, is careful. A with God mindset is careful. He says to Solomon, he says, look, I've got the plans. I've got a whole lot of the resource here. But you know what? You're going to find out when you start building a church, all hell breaks loose. You're going to find out when you start to try and build a temple, stuff is going to happen. Weird stuff is going to go on. It's going to start to happen. And so what does he say, number one? He says, be careful to follow my commands. In other words, following God doesn't happen by accident. We lived at Lenna Valley for 20-odd years. 25 years, I think, we lived at Lenna Valley. So my brain had a very set pattern about driving back to our house at Lenna Valley from wherever I was. And at that time, our office was at our old centre in Belle Reve. And so, you know, for years and years, I'd driven across the Tasman Bridge, you know, round the side of the Domain, back onto the Brooker Highway, turn left at Risdon Road. I could literally do it with my eyes shut. Hopefully not. But it was like that. And then we moved to Montrose. So, obviously, you had to keep going a little bit further up the Brooker Highway before you turned left. You know, and initially it was like, oh, yeah, we're going to the new house, so you remember to keep driving up the Brooker Highway. But what I noticed is after a while, and I started to think, yeah, I've got this, I'm pretty cool, I can drive to Montrose.
Wow.
I had big, lofty goals. But after a while, I'd be thinking about all sorts of things and, you know, what you do as you're driving and probably, you know, some conversation I was going to have with somebody in the church and, you know, all these things that go on. And I would find myself coming round the Domain, down the Brooker and turning into Risdon Road. And then getting up there somewhere and thinking, why am I here? And sometimes, you know, we think we're following God and we get to a point and it's like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Well, we weren't careful. We weren't making it a priority. We weren't diligent. We weren't saying, I am choosing to follow God. I am choosing to be careful with my plans. All of a sudden, you can have God's plans for your life, but your plans start to creep in and they feel like God's plans because you weren't careful. We've got to be careful. So if we want to have a with God mindset, we've got to be careful. Careful follows. Be careful to follow all the commandments. You know, be diligent with that. A with God mindset actually follows. Sometimes we have the plan. Who's ever had trouble putting their IKEA package together? And they have all the steps there. But some of us who have put a lot of things together in our lifetime, we just get it all out and we know what to do. You know, we've got two DeWalt drills. We got all the stuff and we're screwing things in and we're doing it and all of a sudden it's looking okay, but then you go to put a piece in and you realise that actually needed to go in right at the start and you got to undo the whole thing and start again. And sometimes, Dave, that happens in building, doesn't it? Because somebody didn't take any notice of the surveyor. They actually didn't actually look at the plan carefully enough to see where the boundary was. And then this sounds ridiculous, but it happens. And somebody spent millions of dollars building a building on the wrong side of the boundary. David could tell you when it happened. And all of a sudden, because they weren't careful. In other words, we've got the plan. We sort of understand it. We think we know it. But we weren't careful in the way that we followed. And David said to Solomon, look, if you're going to do this, if you're going to get it done, you've got to be careful to follow. With God mindset, number three, it acknowledges God. Acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with devotion. So often, We say, oh yeah, I did this, or I worked hard, and we acknowledge that we've actually put in a lot of effort, but I love it. I love it when you hear a very successful person interviewed, or a successful sports person even. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know what, you know, you've achieved a lot this year. This has been a breakout year for you. You know, what's been behind it? Oh, yeah, well, I've worked hard and I got a new coach and we put this into place and those. And they're all true. But sometimes you hear somebody actually come with a sense of humility. And somebody will say, well, I just believe God's blessed me this year. Or somebody else was saying, I loved, it's tennis time in Australia, and I loved what Rafael Nadal's uncle, his coach, would say to him. You know, he'd say, we've got to remain number one, humble and hungry. Yeah, wow. And he, what he was saying to him is, as good as you are, Rafa, you're probably the best tennis player in the world at the time. You are gifted. You are very good. But you've got to understand that you actually happen to be exceedingly blessed with a talent. And if you don't acknowledge that has come to you for a reason and you stay humble in that, well, that's all going to go wrong. And if you look at him, he successfully played tennis at a high level longer than most, because somehow he had this instill that it's not all about you, Rafa. And you hear people talk about the providence or bringing humility to it. You see, acknowledging God means that it's not all about you, it's about Him. And it means that we actually walk in what we've been given. The good thing about it takes the pressure off. Because if it's all about you, you are under pressure. You know what I see? We have an epidemic of mental health. You don't need me to tell you that. Mental health challenges. And there are all sorts of reasons. But sort of, I wonder if one of the things that's behind it is that we make it so much about us. When we make it about us, there is so much pressure. When we make it about God, He actually wants to take the pressure off. So it's about me. I'm carrying this.
Yeah, wow.
When you acknowledge that all good things come from God, we position ourselves. Listen to this, because David said to Solomon, he said, you've got to take possession of the inheritance. Because see, when you know where something comes from, you can receive it. When you know where something comes from, you can receive it. I mean, you don't go to Bunnings. I mean, you can get nearly everything at Bunnings, but, you know, you probably don't go to Bunnings, I hope, to buy your wife expensive jewellery. I mean, a nice drill hanging around her neck might be good for you if you're a bloke, but she's not going to like it that much. You don't go to Bunnings to buy your groceries yet. You don't go to TikTok to get godly advice. I mean, yeah, there might be some cool stuff on there, but you know, if your first point of call, you know, is Facebook or TikTok or whatever, or even your friends. But your first point of call is acknowledge God. We go to Him first. You see, when you know where something comes from, you know where to get it. Acknowledging God means bringing Him into your decisions. It means understanding He is your supply, He is your provider, He is your healer, He is your refuge, He is your safety, He is your inspiration. All right, with God mindset, you're going to love this one. If we want to have a year where God does the impossible with your possible. There are some things that we've actually got to put in place to walk in that. And this one you're going to love is, as a with God mindset, serves. It serves. Oh, yeah. 2024, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to lose 20 kilos. And I'm going to do it all from the couch. I'm going to watch Home and Away. Does anyone still watch that? I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch The Voice. In fact, I'm going to go and find the reruns of The Sullivans. Oh, yes. Yes, and then they're going to step into the 24th century. We're going to watch that new game show with Todd Woodbridge. Tipping Point. Tipping Point, is it, Ali? Yeah. Yep, and then a little while into the year, yeah, The Voice will come on and then it'll be The Block. And I'm getting fit. I'm getting fit. I'm losing weight, all from the couch. Not going to happen, is it? A with God mindset serves. In other words, a with God mindset gets off the couch. A with God mindset serves. A with God mindset actually puts the needs of somebody else above yourself. A with God mindset says, actually, I want to be part of something that's bigger than me. I want to serve Him. In other words, I'm going to take some steps forward with my plans into what God is doing rather than waiting for it to land on me. You won't possess God's plans by just sitting. You take possession through serving. Let me tell you a little story, seeing as I haven't got any bike stories, Dale. Funnily enough, when God was really speaking to me about taking some serious steps into serving Him in a new season, and, you know, I had thoughts and ideas about what that might look like, but I still remember God challenging me about serving Him. And one of the things that I did at the time, there was a couple of other things I was involved in at the church, and then They couldn't get people. Some things don't change. They couldn't get people to be on the roster for the overhead projector. That sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? The overhead projector. You got to come to church while everybody else was singing. You got to change these slide things and try and get them in the right order. And actually, and if you were struggling at the time, some of you remember Mark Greeny. He used to do a workshop on running the overhead projector. There was a way to do it. Anyway, I remember thinking, the worst job in the church, I reckon, is running the overhead projector. That was my worst possible thing. And God spoke to me and said, Dave, I want you to volunteer for the overhead projector. And I thought, God, you've got the wrong guy. That's not me. I don't do overhead projectors. Anyway, the cool thing was, I only had to do it once. Because one of the elders came to me and said, look, Dave, you know, there are so many things you were good at. But I don't think the overhead projector is one of them. Because people were trying to sing, you know, standing on their head. And then there were other people who were trying to sort of come in at it this way. It was a dog's breakfast. It was worse than you could possibly imagine. But the point is that God asked me to do that. I don't know why I had to put everybody else through it, but it was about my heart. It was about him getting to a point and saying, look, Dave, you choose to serve. You choose to actually walk in some of the things that are not so glamorous. You choose to actually do some of those things, and then I'll get you moving and I can guide you into the things that I have for you. And sometimes we're wondering why God hasn't worked. Well, you know, sometimes there just happen to be opportunities that don't seem that glamorous, that don't seem that exciting. And he says, I want you to step into them. I want you to start moving forward. If you serve, well, you know what? I will start doing the impossible with your possible. You see, it is possible for all of us to serve in some ways. And some of us are waiting for the lights to come on and bam, and oh, yeah, I'm there, and it all happening. Where God's saying, here's an opportunity. You step into that and you watch what I do with you. Come on. It means that when we want to have a with God mindset, a with God mindset serves. A with God mindset is dedicated. Wholehearted devotion is what David said to Solomon. And Solomon said, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So to dedicate our plans, you know, we've got to make sure they are dedicated. To dedicate our plans, we need to know God how? Intimately. See, some people come to me over the years and say, oh, I think God is saying X, Y, Z. God's told me to do this or do that. And I'm thinking, what? I've never read that in the Bible. I've never read that God would ask you to, you know, I won't go through some of the things, but it's crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Or like, you know, our marriage was going along. It was a little bit rocky. It wasn't that good. And all of a sudden, you know, I met this other woman online. And it must be God, because we're so much alike. Oh, God is in it. And I've been talking to her and I feel good.
You've got Cody nervous. He doesn't understand.
It's just an example.
It's an example, Cody. And people say, God's in it. Well, how well do you know God? Because if we know God, we know that that's not what he blesses, because we know his word, we know his heart, we know what he is. And we start to get some of those things. To dedicate our plans, know him intimately, be wholehearted, worship him with a whole heart, with a pure heart. When we dedicate our plans to God, he can do more. He can take them further than you imagine. Anything that you've thought of, he will do the impossible with your possible. And I'll finish with this one, verse 20. So I'm skipping down the chapter a bit. So David said to Solomon, his son, and you might have heard this somewhere before in the Bible, be strong and courageous and do the work. Wow. God's plans. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Have you heard that joke? My father-in-law tells it like it was him. If you're online, Des, it's all right. Sorry to throw you under the bus. But he tells it in Devonport, the Uniting Church rector was out in the grounds of the manse, and he's doing the gardening, and all the blue rinse ladies come along and they look over the fence and they say, oh, rector, haven't you and God been doing a wonderful job with this garden? It looks so amazing. And he looked up from pulling another weed and he said, you should have seen it when God had it by himself. And sometimes, you see, God's given us the stuff. But he says, be strong and courageous and do some work. See, if we want him to bless our plans, he's saying, and one of the things is really clear. God blesses your work on the couch. Now it says God blesses the work of your hands. You see, I will wait on the Lord. I will wait for his presence. I will wait to hear from him. And I will wait for him to fill me. Grant talked a bit about that last week where everybody was waiting for the Holy Spirit to come on them. What happened when the Holy Spirit came on them? They didn't wait. They went out from where they were and they preached the gospel and thousands of people got saved. You see, be courageous. When the Holy Spirit came on them, they received courage and they went and did some work. See, a with God mindset is strong and courageous. Be strong in the Lord. Be courageous in the Lord. So I want us to experience a year where God does the impossible with your possible.
Yep.
And for some of us, we've got to say, what have I got now? What is in my hand? What can I step into? What can I do with what I have right now?
Yeah,
and God says, you know what? I'm gonna do the impossible with your possible. I'm going to do the impossible with your possible. And next week I want to talk about a big factor of dedicating those plans is to bathe them in prayer. I want to unpack what it looks like to bathe our plans in prayer. That's part of dedicating them. You see, as we dedicate our plans, prayer actually aligns us with God's will and allows him to work. What is possible in 2024? Maybe all of us can come back to a 10th birthday mindset. Can lift our eyes, can lift our expectations. Start to think about it mightn't be possible with me, but it is possible with God. And we can live 2024 having a with God mindset. A with God mindset. Just come and just for a couple of minutes, Ali, just sing over us. Some of you, if God's been speaking to you and you need to step into a with God mindset. So the 2024 is not just a same old, or could be. Come on, let's do something. Say, what you're saying is this year, you know what? This year I'm going to be dedicated. This year I'm going to choose to serve. This year I'm going to follow. This year I'm going to be careful. This year I want my horizons broadened. I want to lift my eyes. If that's you, just come on, let's take a step. Let's take a step. Just walk down the front here and let's stand in the presence of God and then we're going to pray.
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Let's start to lift this up for a minute. I'm going to pray in a minute, but I think it's important we declare. Come on. Miracle worker, promise keeper. You're declaring who your God is. You're not just saying the God of the same old, but it is the God of the new. It is the God who is the miracle worker. It is the God who is the promise keeper.